website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues. As we face the issues, we look forward to your call-in with your questions, your comments, and joining in the discussion. The program that we present each and every day and a wide range of preparation is designed around you, our listener. Therefore, after a brief monologue, we always invite you to pick up the telephone, dial 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about an issue today that I think is very, very pertinent, and I believe it is at the point that it is urgent for us to hear and heed what we believe God will have us to do in relationship to our election, our voting. We have the privilege, the constitutional republic with the representative form of government, and in that we have the privilege of casting a ballot, voting for those that we will place in a position of leadership in our nation, in our city and state. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got six amendments on the ballot for the state of Florida. We're going to look at those in just a moment, just an overview. Then we're going to focus on Amendment 3. And I'm asking the question today, the issue, the title of the issue, if you please, today, will Florida go to pot? Will Florida, the state of Florida, will Florida go to pot? It's called marijuana. It's called pot. It's called dope. In fact, back less than 100 years ago, it was called dope and pot. Now it's just simply out in the open, and it's talking about marijuana. Marijuana, ladies and gentlemen, is the gateway drug to every other drug on the face of the earth. So we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of that. We've got a very special guest that we'll interview and introduce to you in just a moment after a brief monologue. Then we're going to have dialogue and discussion on that issue. Perhaps you agree that we ought to vote yes on pot, or should we vote no on pot? Perhaps you say you're Christian and you can vote to approve pot and you're okay. What does the Word of God say? What would God have us to do? How would God have us to vote? What will be the end result of our city, state, and our nation if these issues continue to come to the boiling point and are approved by the citizens that are uninformed as to the reality of what these amendments and some of the laws in some places might cause to come about? So, ladies and gentlemen, just a few days from now, in fact, it's about 14, there will be a decision for the destiny of America. Voting has already started in the state of Florida and most of the counties. I understand that there's been mega turnout in the past couple of days for voting. And so it is my position that we need to urgently hear how we need to vote. Yes, Christians need to vote. Conservatives need to vote. Conservatives, Christians, and patriots need to participate in the election process, in what is called the political process. Nothing political about it. It's talking about government and God-ordained government. Therefore, every Christian ought to participate in a manner that would please God. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let us be reminded we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus, talking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, made this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. It doesn't come and go. It doesn't have to be modified and updated. You don't have to, as Andy Stanley says, you don't need to jettison the Old Testament. We don't have to go back and rewrite the Lord's Prayer because we need to update it. Recently, a lesbian pastor said the Bible was not written for events and the citizens for 2024. Well, that's a lie. The Bible doesn't have to be updated, doesn't have to be modified, changed, or jettisoned at any point in time. The Bible is truth, and we just need to understand and hear truth. It was the secularist George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made this statement. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. Whether you agree with it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you would embrace it or not, truth matters. I go back to a statement made by the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. End quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to sit up, take notice, and understand. But according to the latest survey, the latest statistical data, headline I'm looking at says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. It opens up with Webster's dictionary definition of what is truth. Truth, this according to the dictionary, truth is the body of real things, the body of real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being the case in fact, not happenstance. But in this article, it talks about the latest survey shows that 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% say there's no such thing as absolute truth. They say, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say before, and I'll say again, at the risk of redundancy, a half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we have a multitude of those in Washington today. Kamala Harris going around with half-truths. The socialist Marxist media opening up their remarks with half-truths and trying to make it look as though it's true. And when the last lap of the race, if you will, in relationship to this election, we need to recognize truth. We're being bombarded with the Marxist media with partial truths, with half-truths, with whole lies to bias the voters' opinion on how they need to vote. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast today. But I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, and may I quote, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. I pray that we will do that as Christians, conservatives, and pastors today, and patriots today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. You can sit a mile away from the location. There's a 165-foot flagpole, with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. On the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, will Florida go to pot? Will Florida go to pot? I'm going to read this. We'll get back to it, and we're going to take it apart today. But on the constitutional amendment that we see as proposed amendment number 3, it states, and I read, it allows adults 21 years and older to possess, purchase, and use marijuana products, marijuana accessories for non-medical personal consumption by smoking, ingesting, and otherwise allows medical marijuana treatment centers and other state licensed entities to acquire, cultivate, process, manufacture, and sell and distribute such products and accessories. Applies to Florida law, does not change or immunize violation of federal law. Establishes possession limits for personal use, allows consistent legislation, defines terms, provides effective date, etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the bottom line. We're at the starting point. The gates have been open. Early voting has started. In 14 days, you, the listener, we, the people, we, the voters, in casting our ballot, we'll make the determination of the destiny of our great nation, the destiny of America. We're at the crossroads right now, and the destiny of America will be decided based on how we vote. So how do you intend to vote? Will you vote for a candidate, ladies and gentlemen, that secures the border or that leaves the border open? Will you vote for a candidate today for preserving the Bill of Rights? We vote for a candidate for the protection of our children and our schools to prevent the teaching of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. We vote for a candidate with the proven record of standing for America or against it. We vote for a candidate, ladies and gentlemen, a proven candidate that supports law and order, prosecutes evil, and protects good. Or you vote for a candidate that said we need to ban law enforcement. We need to defund law enforcement. We need to remove ICE on the borders. And we need to just simply have open borders. I could go on and on and on. Is that the kind of candidate that you want? Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I'm as serious as I can be today. I want us to understand that we're in the position of crossing the line and leaving a constitutional republic and going into a third world banana republic with a dictator in the Oval Office. You might say, well, that's not possible. Yes, it is. And every nation that's tried socialism, Marxism, and communism, it's been proven to fail 100% of the time. But Kamala Harris and Bernie Sanders and AOC and others believe that somehow, some way, if America can simply be a socialist, Marxist, communist nation, that we can make it work this time. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not so at all. We need to understand the dangers that looms ahead of us. I'm looking at an article from Walker Wildman, the CEO of AFA in America. He says, we're just days from the critical election, and I can't stress enough how important your role is as a believer in this moment in our nation's history. He goes on to say, this isn't just politics. It's about stewardship. God created government, and he calls on us to act wisely in this area. God entrusts us to make wise choices about our leaders that we select. When we choose to disengage from policies and politics, we end up neglecting one of the areas of stewardship that God has placed under our purview. God has blessed us with the opportunity to elect our leaders. We cannot afford to sit this one out. When Christians make the choice to disengage, it leaves room for politics and leaders that don't reflect biblical values. We cannot let this happen. I don't know of any clearer, more refined statement that can be made than that. Do you want a leader, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to make sure that we have a strong military, to make sure that our military forces that are selected, trained, are those that have the prowess and the ability to carry out war and defend our nation if necessary? Are you looking for a president, ladies and gentlemen, that has a mamsy-pamsy military that right at this very moment would be incapable of carrying out more than one war at the time? I'm looking at a headline says U.S. military caught labeling pro-life groups as terrorists. And I'm looking at the giant billboard in a military installation. It says terrorist groups, anti-abortion right to life operation rescue, pro-life workers, opposed Roe, or those that oppose Roe versus Wade, the type of advocacy, demonstrations and protests, mass demonstrations, life change, the rescue, the truth display, picketing, counseling, sidewalk counseling, crisis center counseling, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, what this is saying is that in our military today, under the Harris-Biden administration, the military is being used and being brainwashed bombarded with the thought that if they participate in, say anything about, or they're involved in anything that's called the Stand for Life and Stand Against Murder by Way of Abortion and anything in that realm, ladies and gentlemen, they're considering that a terrorist group, and they're processing out of the military those that have found with any social media contacts in that realm. This article says liberals have systematically institutionalized hatred of conservatives across the federal agencies and departments. The U.S. military is no exception. Recently, it's been revealed that the military has been using training material that labels pro-life groups as terrorists. Ladies and gentlemen, is that the kind of government that we want? Is that the kind of president leader that we are looking for? I say no. I say we need to give prayerful, serious analysis and consideration of what kind of president we want to vote for. Who do we want in the Oval Office? Now, I don't mind telling you, I'm interested in the candidate that's running, that's been tried and tested and proven to be able to save America, to be able to defend America, to stand for our Bill of Rights, to start a border wall and try to secure our southern borders. I'm for a candidate, ladies and gentlemen, that is willing to go against the socialist Marxist media. I'm for a candidate that's willing to take a stand for truth and take a stand to keep our classrooms clean and keep the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, which is raw pornography, out of the classrooms. I'm wanting a candidate, ladies and gentlemen, that's a proven candidate that stands for the constitutional liberties that we have, our religious liberties and our freedom of speech in the United States of America. Kamala Harris will abandon Israel, ladies and gentlemen, if she's in office. Right at this very moment, perhaps you have heard some news. It's not made national news. It was barely touched on this morning on Fox News, about 3 minutes they dedicated to it, of the leak out of the Pentagon where Israel's plan to retaliate against Iran was open to the Iranians, and the Iranians published it in their front page of the Riyadh newspaper, showing that note that supposedly came from the Pentagon. I believe it was leaked out of the White House. I believe the direction to leak that was out of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris's office, because they're against Israel. They want to destroy Israel. They want to build up and protect and defend Iran. They want Iran to get the nuclear weapon that Joe Biden has been politicking for now for the past number of years. So is that kind of candidate you want? Ladies and gentlemen, Kamala Harris will cancel our gas production. She one time said she was for fracking, then she said she's against it, now she says she's for it again, etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, she waffles, flip-flops, as they're calling it. Is that the kind of candidate you want in the Oval Office? Ladies and gentlemen, our enemies are out in full force to destroy America. Every Christian, every conservative needs to vote, and we need to vote based on biblical truths. Don't wait. One time, ladies and gentlemen, I said, I go out and vote on voting day, not early voting, but on voting day. I've always enjoyed the challenge, the joy of being able to go out and stand in the line, talk with others in the line, go through the process of giving your ID so that you could vote legally, and then sitting back that evening watching television for the count, and by midnight generally know who we've elected, who we've placed in office, what we've defeated, etc., etc. That's always been it. But listen, early voting is the end thing today in society. I'm prayerful that in the future we'll end early voting, go back to simply a federal holiday for the election day so that everybody's off and everybody can stand in line. If it's an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, stand in line, cast your vote. That's not here. We're having early voting. So I say don't wait. We don't ever know what kind of weather we'll have or whether there'll be a national emergency that somehow, some way, the socialist Marxists in the Oval Office will declare martial law, shut down the election, and you say, well, that's just extremism. No, it's not. That's the high possibility based on the thought process in the Oval Office with Harris Biden today. Ladies and gentlemen, on the ballot for the state of Florida, we have six proposed amendments, six of them. The Constitution is at stake because in the state of Florida, our Constitution has been modified and amended 127 times since 1973. Our federal contract's been modified, our federal Constitution has been modified, changed, added to 27 times in the life of the Constitution. And so we're using the Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, today to circumvent legislation, the legislative process. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Let me quickly just list the six amendments. We're not going to delve into them today, but six amendments. Then we're going to go back, and with our guest today, we're going to analyze, scrutinize, and look at the third proposed amendment, which I call the POT Amendment. So I'm asking the question today, will Florida go to POT? Amendment number one proposes to require members, candidates that's going for the school board to give the D or the R behind their name. I'm for that. I say yes on Amendment one. I believe that it's time. In fact, back under, I believe it was Lawton Childs, the Democrat governor, that proposed that and had it changed so that it's a unitary election, so it's not defined, not definitive as Republican or a Democrat candidate. I believe we need to go back to the D and the R. So I say yes on one. Then you have on Amendment 2 is to preserve forever fishing and hunting. Ladies and gentlemen, we already have that right. But listen, in that Amendment 2, it says that the Fish and Wildlife Commission will still be engaged in promulgating rules and regulations as to what can be done and what can't. So what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, they're trying to circumvent the Chevron Act that was just defeated in the U.S. Supreme Court back in April. And in the Chevron Act, it says that governmental agencies cannot set up a law and take that law, promulgate rules and regulations that can prosecute, fine, and put a person in jail. And so what they're trying to do is codify that, you vote for Amendment 2, you will codify in the Constitution of the United of the state of Florida that you will always have the right to hunt and fish. No, you won't. Right now, with the promulgation of the rules and the regulations under the Fish and Wildlife Commission, ladies and gentlemen, you might catch a 12-inch fish where the rule might say on that particular striped fish, you can't catch one over 6.5 inches. Then you got to toss him back. If you don't, then they can fine you, penalize you, even put you in jail. It does not change that. In fact, it codifies it in the Constitution rather than being law, and with law, the rules and the regulations cannot be continually promulgated by that agency, so that then they can use their rules and regulations that they can change at any time to then prosecute the citizens. What they're doing is trying to circumvent the legislative process and trying to circumvent law so that they can promulgate it based on it being embedded as a constitutional right. Thirdly, ladies and gentlemen, the Third Amendment to legalize marijuana, POT. We're going to delve into that today. But let me just simply say the Amendment 3 is designed to trick, lie to, and deceive the public in the state of Florida for authorization of growing, selling, manufacturing, producing, and transporting POT in the state of Florida. Amendment 4 will make murder by way of abortion legal. We've discussed that. We're going to discuss it again tomorrow on this broadcast. We'll be interviewing tomorrow a very special guest, a lady that's the head of the Miami-Dade Right to Life. And I believe that you will be intrigued by, challenged by, and informed by. So keep in mind, tomorrow we're going to talk about the murder by way of abortion, the Amendment 4, and why we ought not to vote for that, why we need to say no, no, no. Amendment 5, special allowances for tax exemptions for special groups. Listen, you got only so many dollars in so many slices in a pie. You slice that pie if you pull a slice out because that special slice has special exemption. You pull another slice out, has special exemption. The total dollars that's needed and necessary for taxation then will be the burden on the last few slices left. I'm against, totally 100% against the special exceptions for special groups in slicing out the regular pie slices for the taxation. So I'm against continually slicing out with the constitutional amendment special areas that then the legislative process, local and state, will not have the authority to make the decision. Amendment 6, the proposed amendment will stop tax paying for political campaigns. I'm for that. Again, it goes back to a Democratic governor where it was promulgated and pushed through, assigned into law, where tax money can be used to support and pay for the campaign for some candidates running for office. I'm against it. Let them raise their own money, pay out of their own pocket, whatever's necessary, but taxpayers ought not to pay it. Let's go back to Amendment 3. What will Amendment 3 do? What is it about? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with me today Lawrence Perkins. Lawrence is the head CEO of an organization called Keep Florida Fresh. Lawrence, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for taking time out of a busy schedule for us to talk about this very, very, very important amendment that we need to understand, our listeners need to understand. So thank you for coming. And Lawrence, if you will, just take a moment. Share with our listeners who you are, what your organization is about, what your passions are, and why you're so involved in this particular issue.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. My background is I'm a licensed engineer. I used to design distribution centers and manufacturing. I was in the supply chain from end to end. Eventually got pulled into the IT world and was the chief information officer and chief technology officer for a number of manufacturing companies over the last 20 years. Now, here in Florida, I see a couple of threats to the culture, not just of Florida, but the entire country. And what they're trying to do with Amendment 3 and Amendment 4 are change the culture and make it such that the legislature cannot change the course of things. They have written things so poorly, and they so promoted this in this environment that we need to raise awareness. And Dr. Youngblood, we have a hurdle to cross. We have a bunch of individuals that try to misinform and try to skim the surface. And unless we get the engagement of individuals and citizens here in Florida to turn this back, I'm afraid it is irrevocably going to infect our culture and our way of life and for generations. Specifically, Keep Florida Fresh tries to provide caution and insight into what this ballot measure should be, and specifically there are some things that are very, very critical. We look forward to discussing those.
Lawrence, so when we think about what is taking place and the issues that we're faced with, if you watch the television high-profile slick commercials, it shows two or three, I think it's just been a couple of law enforcement officers in uniform, either retired or not retired, I don't know which, that's saying that law enforcement's for Amendment 3. Is that truthful? Is it a lie? How do most law enforcement agencies and officers in Florida stand on that issue? Do you know?
I do. The Florida Sheriff's Association stated directly that they are against this amendment, and for the most part, every sheriff in Florida, except for two that I know of, are adamantly against this. One is in Gadsden County, where Trulieve has a 380,000 square foot facility, and clearly there's something wrong in that entity. The other is in, I believe, Broward County, and that sheriff, in a very, very heavily Democratic area, has decided that they're going to support this, and I believe that that is something we need to challenge.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be, and I find it disconcerting to find one or two law enforcement act as though on those ads, act as though they speak for all law enforcement. It gives a false indication to the public that it must be all right if law enforcement says that it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we're being bombarded with lies and half-truths promulgated out of the pot industry, where it's bought and paid for by the pot industry, because they stand to gain billions of dollars in the future if this is approved. So we need to understand what is truth and what is lie, what we need to do in relationship to it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to discuss Amendment 3, the Pot Amendment. Do we vote yes or no in the state of Florida? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back in just a moment.